The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Season 3, Episode 8 features Simon Green, CEO of Edit Cloud, in conversation with Justin Cook, Chairman of Demand Exchange.
I'm absolutely delighted this afternoon to be joined by Simon Green. Simon's the founder and CEO of a business called Edit Cloud. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. For those that don't know you and perhaps don't know Edit Cloud yet, give us a bit of a career journey to date.
So I've always been an owner-operator. And I've always worked in the production space in film and television and advertising. I suppose my craft was in editing and worked across documentaries, live sports, advertising, social campaigns. I suppose rode that wave of change as I saw brands becoming the new broadcasters sort of 2015, 2016. And I suppose for me, like having been on the side of the fence initially with broadcasters, you're stood on 100 years worth of production expertise, and brands were trying to suddenly get through that expertise in a very short amount of time. Edit Cloud came from within that time and within my production business at the time. And we were looking at doing a very big CapEx investment, and cloud was still... it was out there, but not many people were using it in commercial terms. And so for us, we were like, well, why would we spend all this money when we can see the landscape was changing very quickly? And so we were early adopters of cloud before anyone knew what the word COVID was. And Edit Cloud, or certainly the concept of Edit Cloud, was born. As we went through the pandemic, we were just one of those organizations that were like, oh, hang on, we've got something special here. And what we recognized was that technology only gets you part of the solution. And at Edit Cloud, we're fiercely agnostic around building in the best technology that is out there. You know, we can plug it in and plug it out, and right now you need that. But I suppose the sweet spot for us is then, how do we connect that cloud-based technology and put it in the hands of great talent anywhere in the world? And then, where appropriate, how do we train that talent? So really, it's a combination of those three parts around technology, talent, and training that accelerates content creation, but also democratizes access, which is something that we're particularly passionate about, and doing so in a sustainable way.
I've yet to meet a founder who's kind of come on and talked to me about the fact that it's all been plain sailing, and you basically mentioned the C word just then. And I've always been a big believer that sort of, you know, kind of necessity is the mother of all invention. What was it that sort of really accelerated your evolution and formation, I suppose, as Edit Cloud?
I think that I've been at that rock face of running a service business in Soho with a building, and you can just, particularly in production, you just get sucked into that grindstone of do this project, do the next project, and then you get bigger, and there is just no scale in that. And I think that, you know, I at the time I had a TV studio, a few post studios around London, and we were working in LA through COVID, and that was really the piece for us, thinking like, why have we got these buildings here that costing me a fortune? And actually there's amazing talent and some amazing creative opportunities, and just felt like the last 5 or 6 years, I know it's been tough in many parts, but also I believe that great creativity comes from challenging times, right, and limitations. It's where creative thinking really comes from. And I suppose, that was the breeding ground for Edit Cloud. But yeah, of course, there was the challenges were looking at the model and thinking, this isn't sustainable, it's not scalable. The technology was there. And I think also, you know, when we began Edit Cloud, you know, as I said, conceptually back in 2017, but officially in 2021, actually, it was quite hard, even during and just after COVID, I think there was so many bad experiences about, and people just think of cloud, they think, oh, I've got to work from home. Mm-hmm. And I think there were many bad experiences, and actually, as someone that has been an editor and worked with creatives and production, you've got to have a great creative experience, and that's really important. So it's not about just the technology, it's about the experience. And so that's really what we've built on. So yes, the technology and not being limited to buildings is part of it, but you've also got to put the creative experience at the heart of it. So how we collaborate, when do you need to be in a room to have those creative experiences, and when don't you need to be? We did one of our early projects that we did was a lifelong dream. We worked with Walter Murch, who was the editor of The Godfather and Apocalypse Now. And when I was at university, I read all his books. And so when we worked with Walter on his first film, his first feature film that he was doing in Adobe, who are one of our strategic partners, and for him, we were talking about, saying, hey, Walter, the future is going to be virtual and collaborative. And actually, he said to me, well, this isn't new. So, oh, what do you mean? He said, oh, well, when I worked on, Return to Oz, I was in London, I had my editor in Oregon, and we would systematically hold up the film to the light, and we would be synchronizing that over a phone. And then when he was working, he was supporting Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, where I think Spielberg, and not that he's a friend of mine, was a pity, but he was finishing Jurassic Park and starting Schindler's List, and I think Walter Murch and George Lucas were supporting him. And again, this was the first iterations of remote working and remote editing. But it was a privileged few that had the access to that. And what we're seeing is the democratization of the technology that's allowed where we've got to today. But the big part now is around how do you bring the hearts and minds along with you on the journey? And I think that's why with Edit Cloud, whilst we've pulled together some amazing technology partners, our vendor partnerships with the likes of AWS and Adobe and Avid and all those fantastic people, you still need to bring the creative community with you. And I think we're sort of at that intersection now, and that's where Edit Cloud really leans in. So we're not just saying we'll provide you all the technology and get this fantastic turnkey solution, but what we also do is work with creative communities and understand what do they need this to do, where do they want to work, how do they want to work, and then where appropriate, training them. Like we've just finished a series with ITV. I say finish it. We're in the middle of it right now. And that's been a massive transformation for them. I think a lot of broadcast, particularly, is still done quite traditionally, and we've come along. And I think with the market changing the way it has, they've had to look at different ways of doing things. And we've come in not just provide them different technology solutions, but actually trained some of their senior editors into new ways of working, and the results have been fantastic.
Tell me about the results.
So the challenge, if I click gears to the other side of the fence with broadcasting, but it is affected ultimately by the marketing dollar. And I think what's happened in that world was, throughout COVID, that community was very good at finding great solutions, but I don't think it was a great experience. And I think in the for many of those production teams, I think they were burnt slightly by some of that experience of pointing Zoom cameras at edit suites and feedback and lag and all these challenges. And I get it. I've been an editor. You just need things to work, and you don't want to be fumbling around. You're there to create. But I think the technology has come along so well. Like for us, we've got that experience down pat. I think with the work that we've been doing with ITV studios, both in the UK and actually internationally, they're under the same pressures as brands, as agencies, which is, we need to, it's a competitive market. How do we increase our creative output? But ultimately, we've got to be doing so more efficiently and effectively. So we work with them pretty much from early days, because as an organisation, quite inspirationally, like we work with their innovations team. They want to be more sustainable. They want to be more productive. They want to be in the cloud. And we were invited in not just to do the work and, you know, do it bottom dollar, but actually be part of that transformation journey. And in the last 6 months, we've been working with the Multi-Story, one of their labels, and we're just in production now on Come Dine With Me, which is one of their biggest exports. I think it's in 42 territories around the world. And it's been made for 20 years. So understandably, they're like, we know how, this is how we've always done it. It's the sort of tagline that drives me slightly wild. But actually, you know, I respect that. And we, but the times have changed, right? They were doing it in a quite a traditional way, on in their very very tight shooting schedule. They know exactly what they're doing. But for us, being able to say, well, look, when you're looking at post-production, there's a being in cloud means you can get the content in faster, you can get it out faster, and we were basically able to save 60% of their logging and capture time, which was amazing. And for us, you know, we're plugging in tools that are available, but our expertise is saying, well, if you're in cloud and you can understand how we're applying this, we're starting to see these results. And ultimately for that show, it meant that we made the overall production schedule shorter. So it wasn't like we went in and said, we'll undercut the competition. We gave them three or four options to choose from. And I have no agenda. I don't have a building. I don't have studios that I need to pay for. My only objective is to say, what are you trying to achieve here? And it's quite refreshing working with teams to say, what are you trying to do? And for them, it was around sustainability. It was around driving innovation, setting themselves up for the future. But of course, it was around productivity and efficiencies. So being able to work with them on an option and work very closely with their team to say, we can work on this production and make it 25% faster. And that's where we're at. But on that journey, it meant some changes. We had to train their teams from on-prem Avid workflows into Adobe workflows. And we ran them through our training academy. And these are editors that have been, you know, on those tools for 20, 30 years. They were self-confessed dinosaurs. And we did run them through our training program. They were like, no, this is brilliant. And we had like a 97% satisfaction rating through our academy. It only took a few days. But it was the day after the editors finished the academy, the head of production called me up saying, right, we're in, let's do it. And we've been on that journey of change. And I think it just represents what we're seeing in the market now, which is that the markets have changed. And I don't think you can sit anymore and just say, this is how we've always done it and I won't budge. I think actually even the people on the tools are thinking like, A, I recognise the need for change, but B, if I'm part of this journey, I will stay relevant and I will continue other employment opportunities.
So here we are, Advertising Week, and you know, you're working with Oscar-winning editors and you're working with TV kind of broadcasters. If I'm a marketeer, if I'm working in the ad kind of side of kind of the ecosystem, can Edit Cloud help me?
Yeah, so as I said, we work on both sides of the fences, or three or four sides of the fences. I think the advertising industry is under the same pressures. And ultimately, I think now more than ever, it's looking at data and having that reporting and making decisions based on you know, performance marketing, but also actually the operational side of that as well. So do we have an understanding of that? And I think that those conversations that we have are the same, you know, whether that's with brands or agencies or broadcasters or film studios. Being in cloud helps with that, because the second you're in that environment, you can see, down to the minute what's being done. But also actually what we're really interested in is also the task management and the task boundaries. It's not just saying, I made this asset and it took me X amount of time, but actually for us, it's about really understanding the way we creatively collaborate now and understanding where are those tasks done in the most successful way, what region, what tools, what environment. And that's where we can really lean in. So I think the way we're working with brands and agencies now is really understanding what is your best practice And that's something that we're really, really leaning into, because I think it's that the scale and speed of which content is happening, particularly in the advertising industry, is much, much faster. And I think they're much more interested in the data because it's happening at such a fast cadence. And so for us, that's how we're supporting those partnerships. But ultimately, it comes back to the same challenges with broadcast, which is around the transformation piece. You know, you still have to hold people to account to how things are being made and finding those efficiency gains.
Tell me about some of the successes you've had working with brands and with agency groups.
Yeah, so we're doing some really interesting work at the moment with Publicis. And again, coming back to the best practice thing and actually looking about how, looking at multiple regions and territories and saying, well, how is one territory doing operational excellence, and how might another region do operational excellence? And actually comparing the two, and actually that's where we start to see the gains. It isn't just about saying, "Hey, I've got a silver bullet. Here's a great bit of technology or a great process." The first step is actually saying, "Well, there's lots of us here. How do we actually work together to see I've got a great way of working over here?" And so we're doing that with Publicis, and that's been that's been very successful.
It's the 20th anniversary of Advertising Week this year, and you've obviously been talking quite a lot about, you know, the enormous change that you both professionally, kind of personally, have been through, but also, you know, the change that's going on right now in the sector, the challenges, the opportunities that exist. Give me I have to mention kind of, you know, things like AI, which are again adding further kind of disruption. You heard of that?
AI? Is that this Apple intelligence?
Well, you tell me. I think, you know, I'd be really keen to kind of understand sort of like how you are sort of adapting and helping your customers adapt kind of as this industry kind of continues to kind of evolve. And then perhaps tell me a little bit about kind of the future that you kind of see for you as EdicCloud and this industry.
Yeah, look, I think... Look, there's no getting away. We're in great change, and the change is coming faster. And it's not just with the technology, but the humans that we work with and how we collaborate. I think what's exciting about being here at Adweek on the 20th year, and, you know, there's talk of what tools, what changes we've seen in the last year, and what we're going to see in the next few years is certainly prevalent. And AI obviously comes into that conversation. I think what's been really good in the last few months, it felt like a year ago it was proper panic stations. Mm-hmm. AI is going to eat my job. And actually, I think, you know, the vernacular that we talk about that around assistive AI, you know, and I think that's actually a way of actually people reinterpret it. And I think in some ways it was quite dangerous just saying AI is this, AI is that. And we all have those horrible conversations with clients that just say, oh, we'll just get AI to do that. And I think actually it's understanding, well, there is a difference between Gen AI and assistive AI. But I think that's kind of the space that we're really looking at, is as we go forward in the next few months, few years, is understanding how do you integrate that? And for us, it really starts with having a foundation of great data, being really solid on your processes and how you're informing that data, because that's actually going to be the handrail, the guide rails that actually keep businesses making informed decisions. So I think when we look at, certainly for EdicCloud, everything we're doing is building in the cloud, which is obviously a great bedfellow for AI, because we're picking up much rich data, forms of data around the technology being used, software for how long, and connecting that into the performance. You know, so ultimately you're looking at assets, you know, let's say on social campaigns, and you can actually think, well, great, I can understand the performance marketing, but actually let's work upstream and understand, well, what was the effort involved in making that asset, and, you know, what's the overall ROI? And so for us, we're building that foundation of data, because AI is 80% data. And I think people jump to the end with AI and say, oh, we can just use this tool to do that. And so, well, actually, it needs to be attached to a rich repository of data. And for us, that's it. So it's a combination of best practice and the technology and the talent. And that's the point where you can really build some really fantastic AI tools.
And obviously, part of the change that we're all living through right now is also really making us have to learn new skills. And you've talked already in this conversation about training and how you've been training people. And let's just kind of talk a little bit more around kind of the evolving kind of skills landscape. What are those kind of critical skills that you need to kind of, in your view, kind of succeed and win and be successful in this new world that we're all operating in? And then, you know, specifically kind of how is EdicCloud kind of actually helping people learn those skills and hone those skills?
Yeah, so I think that training and the landscape has changed somewhat. I mean, when I was an editor or run, you know, you were in the room and training. I think like where we've all creative sectors have butted heads is this ongoing conversation of like, where do we train? Where do we support talent? And I think that we're moving to a world now where it's a different set of skills and a different set of expectations. Because I was chatting to somebody here at Adweek last night around that learning experience, because I, as someone that is over the age of, let's say, 40, I had a different experience. I remember what it was like being in a room and being that, but actually we've just dropped a series with ITV again called Fresh Cuts, which is the next generation of filmmakers. It's being promoted as part of Black History Month, and it's a really great, diverse set of storytellers. Now, they're not sat there saying, where's my room? Where's my goat's milk latte? And so I think the expectation is different, and the way you embrace training those people is also very different. Whereas, as I said earlier, we're also working with very experienced, award-winning filmmakers who do have a set of preconceptions, and you have to work with them to say, how can we help you continue to be at the altitude that you need to fly at, but also give you a new set of skills? And I think that's a challenge with the industry, is like that there is a dichotomy of those two sets of people, and yet they have to collaborate in order to increase that creative output. So I think as we move forward and we look at, and this is something that EdicCloud is looking at, I think we've got to look at talent in a different way, because I was part of that, I represent that demographic that was, dare I say, just lazy, in the sense it's like, well, I've Simon's a safe pair of hands, and don't get me wrong, I built a decent career out of it. But actually, when we talk about diversity in brands and film and storytelling, that's got to come from the people sat in the chairs doing it. And I think that it's very easy just to say, well, I'll hire Dave, you know, white middle-aged man. Don't worry, he's done it 20 years. So you think, well, if we have a problem with storytelling, you've got to look at, well, let's have the right people in the right seat and let's support them, let's train them. And I suppose the opportunity, this is where tech and talent have that fantastic opportunity, and something that we were very passionate around and saying, well, we now can take the technology to wherever the talent is. They don't need to come in to London or Los Angeles. They can if they want, no problem. We can set EdicCloud up wherever you like. But on the days that, you know, people have childcare or they're caring for parents, or, you know, heaven forbid they don't live in New York, that's where I think there's opportunity, and we'll see that in storytelling. I think that's what excites me, is then thinking, great, well, we can see that richness and diversity in storytelling and bringing someone's experiences through to do that. I mean, I was working with a BAFTA-winning filmmaker last year, and he was an editor, and he was cutting together a sequence, and it was around young black men in Britain. And he gave it to one of his assistant editors and said, hey, can you pull this sequence together? And the sequence that he pulled together, he said to me, he's like, I would not have cut it that way. You know, and he's won BAFTAs, etc. And he saw it, he's like, but that was the right story. But his life experiences, they just weren't seeing what this young black filmmaker was seeing. And he said, he stepped down straight away. He was like, I've got to retire out of this and support this next generation of filmmaking. And now the technology, we can give the voice, the microphone, the laptops to these people. And that's really exciting. And I think that, you know, the industry has been burnt a lot over the years, you know, whether it's Disney or Pepsi, you know, we know the horror stories. And actually, I think the opportunity is to say, well, let's take the tools to where the talent are and let's train them. We can give them the opportunities, and where appropriate, we can train them. And that's something that we're really passionate about.
And how can you, you said the right people in the right seats, I think, earlier. How then, so you train them, that's great. But then you know, at scale, how are they then given that opportunity to be able to put themselves forward, you know, so that they are kind of, you know, proven in the skills that you've trained them in?
Yeah, no, and I think that's, it's a good question. And I think that's also, again, the advantage of being in cloud is we can track when people have completed training. But one of the things that EditCloud are building is this accreditation, so you can actually say, okay, I'm going to give a young let's say it's a video editor or graphic creative production, and they're working on a, let's say, a BMW campaign. It could be that they've worked in the automotive accounts before, but they've never worked on, let's say, BMW. The opportunity is to say, great, well, we can, this is where assistive AI comes in, right? We can say, look, you are skilled to do this job, you're available, and we can actually give them training. It could be brand guidelines, it could be a campaign directive, but ultimately we can give them almost micro-credentials to make them qualified and eligible to do the job, which means that for the brand, they've found some great talent that's available and are going to offer the right set of skills. But for the talent, they've just opened up a new doorway and they get an accreditation. You know, I'm now qualified to work on BMW, for example. And that's really powerful. And it just starts to break down the sort of, it's who you know, and, you know, I know the producer and I've worked on this for 10 years. And, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't, you know, work in that way and then complain because we're not driving enough diversity and opportunity and sustainability into the industry.
And I guess the same could be applied in industries that have got some form of regulation or compliance, right?
100%, yeah. So we were having this very conversation with one of the big pharma companies, because their challenge is in a much bigger scale, where, as you can imagine, if you're working on an FDA drug product, and you've got armies of thousands of people creating content in and around the world, if the FDA then update something across their brand, then actually you've got to get an army of people schooled up very, very quickly to make sure they're compliant. It's not just a nice to have, it's actually we've got to be compliant in order to do this. And so I think that's where this also becomes a really powerful tool, because you can then, you know, for us with EditCloud, we can deploy thousands of workstations with training on it. So if the FDA were, in this example, were to say, yeah, we've updated a particular part of our program, we can build that into our system so that all of those thousands of people that log in the next day say, I have to have done this training, then I'm compliant, and then I can access to do the work.
It's really interesting because you talk about thousands of workstations and you're talking a lot about scale and so on. I mean, I think one of the big objections and concerns that people have had, and I think, you know, kind of history teaches us that those concerns are true and valid, right? Which is, you know, content leaks, data leaks, you know, kind of privacy kind of breaches, right? And I think whenever anyone's thinking about, oh, I'm going to move my business to the cloud, you know, it's all going to be great and shiny and all the rest of it. But I think there's a real concern around sort of that potential kind of risk. How do you overcome that?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, I remember when the industries was going from tape to tapeless, and people still like to have a tape, or then it became a hard drive. There's something about I've got it backed up on this thing, and that makes people sleep at night. But look, look, security is absolutely the number one thing. And for us, like, that was our initial starting point. It was a non-starter. If you can't work in this way, you certainly can't throttle scale if you don't have security built in. You know, for us, we use biometric logins so that I know who is, you know, the person sat in front of the seat, in front of the screen, is who they say they are and can do what they say they can do. And the other thing I think we're moving towards as well is actually moving away from having on-prem storage and peripherals and devices. You know, for the work we're doing both with broadcasters and studios as well as agencies, is thinking, well, they all have these large cloud accounts, of which they get fantastic discounts as well. So for us, we're actually, you know, we deploy our ecosystem into their ecosystem, so they get all the benefits of their discount, but also they ensure that they have the assets, and that sits with their security. And I think that's also an interesting place that I think the industry is moving to, is so actually the ultimate brand owners, they're in control. They have the assets. You know, we're deploying workstations into their ecosystem, and that's quite a different way of working.
And another big theme here, and you know, thank goodness, as you know, it's been kind of growing. You know, is the industry's attempt to, you know, become net zero, and you know, this is a really critical thing for major brands and agencies that support that sort of initiative. What's your kind of contribution to that?
Again, when we began the business, security was one of the first non-starters, but the other thing was around sustainability. And I think when we looked at our ecosystem, or the ecosystem of my previous businesses, you know, very energy inefficient buildings in London, and then you suddenly start to realize how much we're traveling. And actually, for us, it was really important for us. One of our initial key hires was a head of sustainability. And I think, like, for a business of our size at that time, most people would have said, oh, why would you do that? You know, get a salesperson or, you know, invest in that. But for us, it was like, no, this is of paramount importance. And for us, like, we've built our business on the foundation of being able to track sustainability. So, you know, for all the reasons that we've just been talking about, it's fantastic to be able to connect with storytellers all over the world. And it's not just about tracking carbon usage, but actually driving diversity. You know, people hear the word sustainability and think carbon, but actually being able to drive diversity into the businesses, we can track that. But ultimately, we've already seen some fantastic results. You know, we've reduced, typically we reduce carbon impact by 51%. And that's by looking at how do we do travel, the efficiencies of moving media around. I mean, we ran a production for BYD in the Middle East earlier this year. And I think by running everything in cloud, it wouldn't have been possible to have done it had it not been in the cloud. But we saved 78,000 air miles by not having the whole crew go out there. And, you know, we had people working on the ground. We were uploading from Riyadh, from Jeddah, Dammam, up to cloud. We had creators and producers working across America, England, Amsterdam, France. It was fantastic. You know, it streamed across three cinemas, NBC, across the region. But when we looked back at that project, we thought we could not have done it if we'd done this all on the ground. But also the impact, you know, and obviously working for a brand like BYD, which, you know, we're promoting sustainable values in their brand. This was a really great story to say, well, actually, as part of the content creation of this, we also saved a huge amount of carbon impact.
So I'm a creator, I'm a producer, I'm a brand, and I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm kind of intrigued by what you're saying. What's the first step I need to take?
Yeah, look, I think for us, we... talk to us, right? For us, we recognize that, as someone that's been in the delivery world for all of my career, it's hard when people say we've got to change, you know. And I think we're seeing that a lot at the moment. We're seeing that the walls sort of closing in somewhat with market changes, pressures on driving diversity and sustainability whilst also delivering creative excellence. I think it's about taking that moment to think, okay, what does good look like? And you don't have to say, I need to change everything, tear everything up. I think what's been great, you know, if we use the example with ITV Studios, you know, that's been a journey of 3 years. And we don't go in and say, right, stop what you're doing. But we understand, what have you got? You know, where are you now? And where do you need to be in the next 2 or 3 years? Where do you need to be in the next 2 or 3 months? And it's looking at the delta in between. I think what we're really good at is working with creative teams and operational teams and saying, you know, what is that journey? How do we help you take, you know, go on that journey with you? You know, one of our key partners is Adobe, and, you know, working closely with them, they're leading the way with some of the tools that they're bringing out, particularly with Firefly and how they connect also to the broader AI suites. And for us, like, we've been on that journey with them, but then actually how do you integrate that into a meaningful production environment? But it doesn't just happen by saying turn everything off over here and we're going to go to the cloud. It's about understanding what are your business objectives, But most importantly, it's about taking your creative team on that journey with you. You know, the trick is making everyone feel like this was their idea and they've got ownership. And it's not as scary as you think. I think if I could share one thing, I think pretty much 100% of the teams that we work with, and we work with very big enterprise organisations, and within those organisations, we work with, you know, varying teams, creative production and video production. I've never had anybody turn around and say, "Oh, that was, yeah, that was much worse than I thought." Actually, I think they build it up in their heads around, you know, am I going to do myself out of a job? You know, how is AI going to impact me? And it becomes this thing. And actually, ultimately, they come out the other side saying, "I get it now." And I think it's about breaking that down and saying, "What's the short term impact and what the long term gains?" And we want to be part of that journey. So yeah,
Simon, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.